Trustee Criddle, can you please lead us in the pledge?
Please stand.
Salute. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Please be seated. Dr. Azrani has asked me to remind everybody about our civility statement. We're all adults here. We want to hear what you guys have to say. So just be kind to each other, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Criddle. Announcements of action taken in closed session. The following student expulsions were approved by unanimous vote. EH 21-22/02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07, and 08. Comments from board members. Trustee Hasty? Trustee Davis? Trustee Boom? Trustee Crawford?
No.
Trustee Criddle?
Not at this time.
Trustee Gary Criddle?
Not at this time.
Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers Association. Hi, Susan.
But Angela did ask me to, she wrote a statement she asked me to read for Muta. Again, she wanted to share some comments and thoughts. So this is Angela. As I'm sure you're aware, the Muta and MJUSD bargaining team met last week, and eventually, after a 10-hour marathon negotiation session on Friday, we were able to reach a tentative agreement on one-time payment to teachers for last school year. Although we're relieved to have that segment of negotiations tentatively settled, we were disheartened and even angered to learn of the board's position in regard to the one-time monies offered last week. The fact this board wanted to know what they would get in return for their proposal for last year leads me to believe that you never heard a single word any of us teachers said or wrote to you. Not a word. So what would you get in return? How about what you did get in return? Keep in mind, this was your response to an offer for a year that's already over in the past, so here's a sampling of what you already got in return. A year of tireless efforts to teach ourselves and our students and to foster a sort of connection or relationship with students, all while being often demoralized and demonized. An incalculable number of hours spent toiling through uncertainty and chaos. A year of working 10, 12, 14-hour days or more. A whole year of working without even doing salary negotiations. I'll stop there for now, but I think you should know the lack of respect that we feel you have for the professional educators in this district. It's appalling and unnerving, and that can be further seen in the data coordinator position that's coming up again tonight. One simply cannot sit before this public gathering and vote to approve yet another DO position while proclaiming that you are so broke that you cannot afford the cost of a living increase for your teachers. Remember, the very same LCAP that's being used as the impetus for approval of this position is the very same LCAP that's being used as, it's the very same LCAP which you removed, attracting and retaining high quality teachers. It's counterintuitive to use this document, this plan, to assert the bolstering of staffing at the district office while you're hemorrhaging teachers and educators throughout the district. Again, Muta urges the board to do the right thing. Please do not approve another highly paid DO position, especially while you're telling your educators that they don't even deserve to keep up with the cost of living. Okay, so Angela's statement.
Thank you, Susan. Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association, Number 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Next, we have public comments. Persons wishing to address the board are requested to fill out a public comment card before the start of the meeting, give it to the secretary, board president, or the superintendent. Regular board meetings, the public may address topics not on the agenda during this section of the agenda or ask that they be heard during a specific agenda item. Comments are limited to a maximum of 3 minutes per speaker, 20 minutes total time for public input on each item per board bylaw 9323. The Ralph M. Brown Act prevents the Board of Trustees from responding to these comments with the exception of clarifying questions. The California Government Code section 54954.2.A states, no action or discussion shall be undertaken on any item not appearing on the posted agenda, except that members of a legislative body or its staff may briefly respond to statements made or questions posed by persons exercising their public testimony rights under section 54954.3. We do have a number of public comment cards. We do have the time that you can see here and here. So I would just ask that you respect that time. Our first is Amy Slade. If you could come to the microphone and then state your name for the record.
Good evening, my name is Amy Slade. A couple of questions. I would like to know if the parents will ever have the courtesy of a breakdown or a statement officially from the board or administration on what your plan is with all of these mandates, with the masking. Also, I would like to know if we could also get a breakdown of the estimated $58 million that MJOSD has received in COVID money. My understanding is $5 million of that was specifically to muzzle our children. So I'd be interested to see what's going on with that money, who's spending it, where it's going, whose pockets it's lining, because I think we all deserve to know that. That said, I also need to know, for my own personal reasons, I'm having a hard time understanding where people's moral compass has gone in this world. I don't even know how else to state that. Do you guys live under a rock? Like, literally, are you unwilling to just open your eyes to what is really going on in this world? Because I just cannot wrap my brain around the fact that some people do not want to admit that something is going on that is not okay, and it is at the price of our children. And if you're okay with that, you really need to take a real good look in that mirror, because I just don't know how you can be okay with the person looking back at you. I've spoken here a few times. This is the hill I'll die on, because I will protect my children at all costs. And you can get tired of seeing me, and that's okay. But I'll be here every 2 weeks with something new to say, questioning people's moral compass and wondering where all this money is going. And until somebody starts giving us some answers, and I think as parents, we deserve that. We deserve to know where the money's being spent. We deserve to know whose pockets it's lining. And we deserve to know where you guys stand on all of this. There has been nothing but silence. We don't get memos. Nobody is standing up saying, we hear you. We're going to fight this for you. Your kids are our priority. Nothing. Silence. Crickets. If this was your child, would you be okay with this? I would hope not. But yet you just sit here and there's nothing. Like we, you know, like we're just a number, and it's too much. And we are taking action. So I know a lot of you are on notice. We're not stopping with that. So see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you, Ms. Slade. I would ask that if Dr. Azrani could maybe make sure Mrs. Slade gets a copy of our LCAP, because I think that does explain a lot of where our expenditures go. So if it is actually on our website.
Just on. Yes, thank you. I think it's, we will give you a hard copy after this, but it is and has always been available on the website once it's board approved every June. But I'll be happy to give you a copy. And I don't mind meeting with you to walk you through some of that. If you would give me some time, I would do that with you. It's on the front page. It says LCAP, Local Control Accountability Plan, and I can show that to you as well. Somebody from the audience, if any of our principals can show our parents where it is, that would be great. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Tammy Strozzini. Tammy?
Good evening. Members of the board, I must say that it feels good to finally have at least one matter resolved between the teachers and the district. The fact that we were able to finally agree on a one-time compensation package allowed for those of us who have spent countless hours bargaining on teachers' behalf to finally take a step back and breathe a sigh of relief. This, of course, is after we spent several hours feeling shocked and dismayed that you would want to hold last year's money hostage from us by intimating that in order for movement, you would want something more out of us. As if your teachers have not already given anything and everything they could muster over these past 2 years, these past two very trying, unprecedented years in education. Anyway, finally, a bit of time to breathe. However, with that now in our rearview mirror, I need to begin thinking about what's to come. So here's a few things I think about. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, I think about the fact that food prices are up 3.7% this year. I think about power and electricity increasing by 5.2%. I think about the cost of apparel going up by 4.2% this year. I think about the cost of propane increasing by 5.2%. I think about the exorbitant increase of fuel of over 30%. I think about the fact that this district received a 5.07 cost of living adjustment. And I think about the fact that they only want to pass 2% of that onto their employee groups. All this is going through my mind as I also think about my last month's paycheck, where although I've been employed by this district for 3 decades, my net income went down by $130. I'm sure you all would think twice before continuing in a career where your take-home pay goes down every year. Don't you think our teachers would feel the same? That $130 represents a few household bills that now have to come from somewhere else. Now that my husband has passed, I'm a single-income household. A single-income household who just saw a cut in my pay. If this happened to a newer, younger teacher, it may have a much deeper impact on them. You, the board, have the power to prevent this from happening. By providing a fair increase to our compensation package would allow teachers to keep up with the current cost of living increases and may, at the same time, provide more incentive to attract and retain educators in Marysville Joint Unified School District. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. Next, we have Susan Rogers. Susan?
Hi, this time I'm speaking for myself. I'd like to start by thanking the board and our district for keeping our students and our staff as safe as possible. Really appreciate that we are not bucking that system. As many of you know, I'm a special ed teacher at McKinney. I've been teaching special ed in this district for, this is my 25th year in the district. And special ed teachers are all about data. That's our job, relies on data. And our district has done a great job in investing in all kinds of online programs that help us to gather data. We can pull data from all of these different things. Rather than spending money on a bunch of money, over $100,000 to keep a data coordinator, teachers have the ability to pull data from all these sources we've had. And we're talking about having a data coordinator who needn't necessarily have educational experiences. We would do better to use that money to make our paraprofessionals full-time instead of just 3.5 hours, to hire employees, teachers, as well as paraprofessionals who work directly with our students in the classrooms and not having just more people at district office. I've had only a part-time para for the last few years, and she's amazing. She would love to work full-time for our district. I would love to have her full-time in my classroom rather than 11:30, hey kids, you can't get help from her anymore because she's got to go home because she can't work a full day. So I'm urging you to vote no on the data coordinator position this afternoon and to look at bringing back our paraprofessionals as full-time staff as they were when I was first with the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Next we have Joanna Lasaga. Joanna?
Good evening, Joanna Lasaga. So in previous meetings that we have spoken, there's been concern about kids testing positive and being contact traced. Should that happen, and should a child be sick, and God forbid they die, that the school district would be sued. Have you guys thought about that if you mandate this vaccine or you force the children to get this vaccine on from 12 on up, that should there be an adverse reaction, that you could be sued for that? Just food for thought. And as we're going on, there was a letter on our, you know, good old faithful Facebook, but there's a letter from the Reading School District that states, you know, hey, we just want to communicate with you guys. We want to know, want you to know that right now, this is how we're going to handle this situation and, you know, the COVID situation and force the vaccines and such. Why can't we have that here? Every day we get notifications that a child tested positive. We don't know the kid. We don't know the class. We don't know anything. So what? A kid tested positive. Why don't you give us some fruitful information so that we can, you know, glean the proper way to go as a parent instead of just this pointless? We need to know so we stop hounding you guys. You're not being communicative with us, and we need to know. We deserve it. And you can look around the room, Mr. Rasmussen, and you can sit there and you can ignore us, but I'm telling you, I am fed up with you and your dismissiveness of the parents, the community, and everything. Your seat's up in 22, and trust me, you might not want to run again because somebody's going to fill your seat. I am tired of the way you treat us, and like we are nothing and we mean nothing to you. You will listen to us because that's your job. And as a board member and an elected official, you are supposed to listen to your constituents. So why don't you act like an adult and show us some respect? You know, you keep asking, you know, before the meetings, Mr. Criddle, you ask for our respect, and we do that, and we've been courteous to all of you, and yet you don't show the same. It's about high time that you start treating us with respect, Mr. Rasmussen.
Thank you. Next we have Dennis Kinney. Dennis?
Good evening, guys. I see you got your giant jacket on since they are ahead in the... Okay, got that. Anyway, yeah, I just don't know where you guys are at. I mean, I don't understand what you follow in your guidance. CDC, right? Is that what you go by to govern this place? Well, Jessica in April came here with what CDC... had about a mask. Did you guys read that? Evidently not, I guess. But maybe you should pull it out and read it, because there's a lot of good information in it, and there's no good information that a mask is good for a child to wear. So I would like to see you guys pull that out and talk about it together as a board members of the findings of that, because I don't think you've answered her. She's not been back. And she did a lot of research to get the answers that she got and where it came from. And it came from Dr. Fauci when he was probably not a liar like he is now. Maybe 20 years ago when he was doing his job like he should do his job. But now he's nothing but lies. But you're going to follow his lies. Do we have an emergency health crisis here? Do we have kids dying every day here? No, We don't. We got a government that's nothing but evil, pushing evil mandates on our kids. And you wonder why people get peed off, right? Because our kids are everything to us. Evidently, you guys don't have any that are there. But I've seen all last year on Zoom meetings, people coming to you in tears, teachers in tears of what they're going through to teach kids. I just don't understand. And you guys can't ever answer, can't ever talk, say how you feel about anything. And it's just ridiculous. But why don't you stand up, back with us, and go against the evil that is being thrown at us all? Because pretty soon it might be too late to stand up for anything. Because I can't see how you could think it's right of anything that's going on in this country, let alone this being forced on our children. So much for what I wrote down and was going to say, but you know, pretty soon we can't just bow down to evil, okay? Can't do that. We're going to have to go at it a different way, because evil is not going to win against good people. But sometimes I wonder, are you good? Are you going to back us? Are you going to want us to back you?
Thank you very much, Mr. Kenny. Your time is up. Next we have Rebecca Carlson. Rebecca.
Good evening, my name is Rebecca Carlson. I'm a Yuba County resident. I pay taxes and I coach for 20 years in Yuba City High School, River Valley High School. Care a lot about children. I'm gonna say no to CRT. I pay taxes. You work for me? No to CRT. Critical race theory, whatever you wanna call it, however you wanna disguise it, we're gonna find it in the school system because I know it's here. You know how I know? Because our dictator governor, by the way, hi, in case these cameras are for the FBI, I'm right here. How you doing? Uh-huh. Is that part of the 58 mil? Those cameras, they're real nice. Anyways, however you disguise it, Gavin Newsom, he said it's going to be mandatory for children to graduate. They have to know how racist America is. They have to know how bad America is. No to the muzzles. They're not masks. They don't work. They're muzzles. And it's called struggle sessions. Read a little bit about communism. You guys are all educators, supposed to be in the education business. Crack a book. Do you ever think, how on earth did Nazi Germany happen? How on earth could it have possibly happened? How on earth could good people have gone down the road to throwing bodies, thousands and thousands of peaceful human beings, throwing them into a pit after shooting them. Think about it, because we're here today and we're part of an experiment. And so again, I will say, which side of history would you like to land on? Because courage is contagious. And we have an opportunity, you have an opportunity, because you're sitting in a place of leadership. Might I remind everybody, guess what the survival rate of this nasty disease is? Whoa, watch out, 99.9998%, oh my gosh. You know, if they put a ticker on the wall for car deaths, we'd never drive a car again, because that fear would be so crazy. 99.9%. All of this is happening. So I'm going to ask, why are you doing what you're doing? I'm not looking for an answer. I'm asking you to answer in your heart. Why are you doing what you're doing, and how do you sleep at night? Because it is part of a bigger agenda. So wake up, people. What is a mandate? It's not a law. You don't have to follow it. It's a mandate. It's not a law. And even if it was, if it's against our God-given rights, like breathing air, then we ought not obey it anyways. Who's really calling the shots? And stop being good little Nazis.
Next, we have the correspondence to the district, Jerry Garrick. We'll have a 6-minute presentation followed by a maximum board discussion of 10 minutes. Gary?
Hello, good evening. Thank you very much for agendizing the item and for allowing me to speak to you today about this. I've spoken to you twice before about some of the issues that our Foothill families are facing regarding busing, the lack of busing. To date, there hasn't been any progression in that. I've asked the item to be agendized today so that I could hear your responses about what some of the things that you have done to follow up on this issue or that you are planning or things that you are working on to resolve this issue. I want to talk to you about some of the things that I have done. I have checked to see what other school districts are doing. I have looked into LCAP funding, and I have seen where funding could be available for additional hires or incentives. I have looked into partnership programs such as Durham Bus Company. I have looked into alternative arrangements such as Ubicenter Transit. I have talked to bus drivers. I've talked to the transportation department. I've talked to the principals, the teachers, the students, the support staff, the parents, all of these stakeholders involved. And the consensus is simple. Yeah, these kids need buses. They need to get to school. The stakeholder opinion that I'm missing or input that I'm missing is yours. I haven't been able to hear from you. So I'm hoping at the conclusion of this presentation, I'd like to hear your personal opinions on the matter. I've even reached out to some of you to no avail about possible solutions to that. So that's disconcerting. And it makes me question, what are you doing here? What is your purpose? Are you here to see your students? Is it just another notch on your belt? I'd like to add just a couple more pieces of information that are helpful. Recently, there's been two articles in the Marysville Appeal Democrat, Ubicenter Appeal Democrat, talking about the lack of busing as well as chronic absenteeism. And I can't help but relate the two together, that they are related. They go together. It's wonderful that the schools are open, but the ability to get to these schools is not there. And I really feel like this is, although not mandated by state law, California is one of two schools that do not require state or busing by law. It is something that our students have desperately needed. Schools in the past have been considered a safe space. The place you could always rely on. I can remember in the 97 flood, our schools were open for emergency evacuation centers. Those are the places you go to in your community, right? Those are our centers, okay? And I feel like we're not able to do that right now. We're not able to get that kind of help. It's kind of every man afloat on their own. I wonder sometimes how many moms and dads are contributing to the economic issues that we're facing not here in California, but across the nation because they're unable to get their children to school because of the lack of daycare and the lack of transportation. And to be honest with you, it's exhausting week by week trying to make arrangements, trying to organize parents or family friends, trying to talk to my boss and organize my work schedule. And I'm tired. It's hard every day not knowing how this is going to happen, how we're going to get to and from school. I can tell you that my daughter is an extremely active student. She loves school. She has a problem when I schedule her orthodontist appointments during the day because she doesn't want to miss. She's active in volleyball. She's active in drama and many other activities. And so much of that is connected to the school experience. And I wonder when I'm going to have to choose between my ability to work and provide for her and her ability to continue to go to Foothill Intermediate. That's not a decision that I would like to make. So again, I just ask, where are you on this? What have you done? What are you planning on doing? what can you do for me? I'm at my wit's end. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garrett.
I have a clarifying question, Mr. Rasmussen, if that's all right.
Actually, you can have any kind of question you want, Trustee.
I assume you mentioned busing, and I'm making some... First of all, I didn't catch your name. What?
It's Jerry Garrick.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I assume, based on your question, you live in the Foothill area.
I do, yes.
Do you have my email?
I believe so.
We'll get you my email. Okay. I would love to hear from you, please.
Okay, absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
These correspondences are kind of new to the district, but can we ask for an update from transportation at this point?
Sure.
Mr. Taylor or the superintendent could update us on what's going on, because I know that there's been some hard work being done trying to recruit new bus drivers, and I know it's very difficult out there. A lot of people aren't available to work or wanting to work, but an update right now would be great. Thank you.
I could speak slightly onto that because I have talked to the department chair. They have had 7 people interested in applying. The position is very difficult to fill in the sense that it takes 2 to 6 months to go through the training program. And although the district does provide the initial training, the DOT certification and all the testing that they're required to do is not covered. It's on them to do that, and there is no compensation in the meantime or no guarantee of employment at the end of the 6 or 7 month period. So for what I understand now, it'll be 2 to 6 months before there'll be an available bus.
So Russell, could you, we kind of needed the timer running for a 10 minute time limit. So maybe give us 8 more minutes to talk on this item for board discussion. Thank you. Dr. Israni?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Boom wanted me to give a quick response. Thank you, Jerry, for reaching out and being here today. And we absolutely hear your concerns. In fact, our Director of Transportation puts in, and his team have been just working around the clock, and you're absolutely correct. We have shared a suggestion that our Director of Transportation, Mr. Taylor, presented to Cabinet just a week ago, because he's at the wit's end himself, trying to get children to school and meet those needs. And then we have people who are leaving the profession just because they're finding maybe other employment they prefer. So there's so many other factors with personnel, as you know. But I would love to meet with you separately and go over all our initiatives and talk about an idea we'll be bringing forward for discussion at the next meeting and get your input in that. Would that be
good? Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, but we have been working on that. Was that what you were asking me to say, Mr. Boom?
Thank you, sir.
Yes? Okay. Yes, I'll work with you and I'll make sure we talk to you about some ideas that you might want to share with us as well.
I do. I have one question, I guess, clarifying question. I have been in contact with a couple of the members of the Yuba City, Yuba Center Transit, and I believe that they have reached out about a possible partnership. I know that they work with River Valley High School and Lyndhurst High School, and that they have contracts that they do with reimbursement for possible rides. Have they reached out to you? Have you spoken with them?
Yes, I can respond to that. That's a plan we're talking about.
Okay.
Mr. Taylor brought that to us a couple of weeks ago. We had to check with our JPA and legal because of liabilities. I'll be providing that plan to the board, and then we will discuss that openly. But thank you.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Any other comments or questions from board members? Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Next, we have a presentation from Arbogue Elementary School. Mr. Preston.
All right, good evening. I am Eric Preston. I am in my 27th year here with Marysville Joint Unified, and my 21st as an administrator. I'll let her introduce herself, sorry.
Hi, I'm Kylie Ligorio. This is my first year as the assistant principal at Arboga.
And your 8th year with the district, I believe?
10th.
Tenth, I'm off, sorry. We both started our careers at Marysville High School. At any rate, we are here to present the school plan for student achievement and just give you a little bit of information about our Boga Elementary. And so our school, on this slide, we have our mission and vision statement. And the mission and vision of our, I'm gonna take this off so I'm clearer, I'm sorry. The mission and vision of our Boga Elementary School remains unchanged since September 2016, although we have established some teams or committees for this year, and the leadership team will lead a revision as we transition from a K-6 to a TK-8. The purpose of a plan, this is a long slide and I'm not going to read it to you. I know you guys have a copy, or I think you do, but basically the SPCA is the single plan for, or the school plan, excuse me, for school achievement. We refer to it as a site plan, and it's basically where we're going to put our money as far as categorical dollars to try to reach some school set goals. And the way that we usually do that is we create a comprehensive, or we go through a comprehensive needs assessment that takes into account a whole bunch of things like test scores, data. We look, Susan Rogers earlier talked about data. We look at professional development. We look at surveys. We look at SST data, IEP data, et cetera, all of that stuff to kind of figure out how do we best meet those goals that we set and how do we place our money. So with that being said, we have three goals, and Ms. Liguorio is going to talk about what our goals are.
So we have three different goals here based on the assessment Mr. Preston was talking about. So our first one, providing students with high quality first instruction. That's obviously our first and foremost goal every day. Our second one being a positive climate learning environment, not just for our students, but for everyone that enters our campus. And then number three, increasing parent, family, community involvement in our school. So then the next couple slides that we have, few examples of strategies, things that we're doing to achieve those goals. So multiple things listed there, just a couple I'm gonna highlight. So the first bullet point on this one, professional development. On top of the professional development that's provided by the district, we also have site-funded things that we do. This summer, myself and six other staff members did like a 30 to 40 hour training on Orton-Gillingham, which is a multi-sensory approach to teaching phonics. Let's go to the next one. As far as our second one here, there are conditions in school climate. We have part of the first one there, one of our student support specialists helps with weekly videos. These serve a few purposes. We have students involved in them. They always do some sort of skit. Our leadership kids, our Cougar kids, also act as like news anchors for our videos. The videos also kind of tie into our third goal because they are shown weekly to every classroom, so all students see them. They're also sent out to every single family, so they are seeing what's going on campus. Right now it's difficult for a lot of families not being able to come on campus, and so this is one way that we have found to kind of include them so they feel that they're a part of it, even though they can't physically be with us.
So our budgeting for the future, as we look now where we are and where we're headed, for this year, we have $299,679 for our site. This is all together, it's our Title I dollars, carryovers and an additional bump that we got, parent involvement dollars, targeted money, and then also targeted carryovers. So we actually are sitting a lot better this year than we had anticipated. So it's going to help us do more than we had thought. After the final months, after the final months of 2019-20 and all of 2021 being disrupted with distance learning and everything that we've endured, school is pretty much almost back to normal. Not quite, but it's getting there. And so we just kind of wanted to show some scenes from the classroom to show that students are adhering to safety protocols, they're learning. Unfortunately, there was, I added a slide that I wanted, it's not here and I apologize, I added it today. I went into a second grade classroom and was able to watch students in Mrs. Duarte's class working collaboratively on the floor and all over the place, building vocabulary posters for words from their Wonders lesson that was all science-based, and it was really neat to see the kids working collaboratively. You don't see that here, and I apologize.
That's you. Just a few more kind of happenings going on campus. Right before the start of school, the news, Fox 40 actually came out. They were doing like a segment on new teachers just in the region. And one of our first year teachers, Alyssa Latuca, was featured on that. So that was very cool. The photo you see there with the student with the microphone, that's what I was just talking about. She's acting there as the news anchor for one of our weekly videos. And she's actually up on top of our playground equipment, giving people a view over the construction fence of what's going on back there. Everyone's always curious to know. And then that picture on the bottom, part of our, you know, PBIS positive culture, also school spirit. Every Friday we have Spirit Day. It's a contest between classes who can wear the most red or cougar gear. And the winner each week gets that flag there, and that stays outside their classroom for the week until someone steals it from them, and it gets very competitive.
We've actually had 2 weeks in a row with three classrooms with 100% participation. On to extended learning opportunities. Part of those monies that are being given to the district to make up for learning loss are called extended learning opportunities. And so we have monies for this year and next year to offer things to our students. And so right now we currently have a sixth grade leadership program being offered, a fourth through sixth grade boys group, a fourth through sixth grade girls group, and we just started a sign language group for fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. We're in the works right now for math Olympiads for sixth graders. We're working on some STEM and STEAM projects for second through third, and then fourth through sixth. We're looking at offering some art, at utilizing our paraeducators on the minimum day Wednesdays to do academic tutoring while the teachers work in PLC. So there's some good things that are being done with that money.
So as I'm sure you are all aware and have heard lots about, our big construction project going on. So right now, creating quite a few hardships, but as far as space and, you know, just trying to also teach kids in an active construction zone, but we're making it work and it's very exciting. So next year, 2022-23 school year, we will be expanding, we'll be ready to go from K-6, we'll invite TK and seventh grade, and then adding eighth grade the following year. It's pretty exciting to see our fence actually blew down the other day in the construction, or in that huge windstorm, you know, so we're actually able to see what's going on behind the fence. For a long time, a lot of the students asked if they were building us a monster truck track because all they saw was dirt. And now it's exciting because they've actually started laying some foundations and stuff for a new multi-purpose room. So it's clear that we're actually getting new buildings. It's not a monster truck track.
So the building plans, you guys have all seen these, but it's just kind of refreshing to go back and look at it. I started at Arboga in 2007, and I was told that within 2 years we'd have a new building, and it didn't happen. And I kept selling that to parents as they came, and they came. And now we have this, and it's actually happening. And not only is it a new building, it's allowing us to extend to a TK-8, which that community has wanted for years. They've wanted a K-8. TK wasn't really even around when they wanted it, but they've wanted a middle school there forever. And so it's nice to see that they're finally gonna get what they wanted. Steaming ahead into the future. There's a lot of talk about STEM and STEAM, and that being science, technology, engineering, and math, or science, technology, engineering, the arts, and math. And so one of the things we are happy to announce is that we are going to have an identity as a STEAM school. And so the plan is for over the next 2 years to really do some, over this year first, to really push some STEM and STEAM activities through the ELO, and then also to try to do some project-based learning with our second through fifth graders, so that as they move up into the middle school portion, 6, 7, 8, they'll be able to do STEAM, and we will be able to do some coding and robotics, so that every sixth, seventh, and eighth grader who leaves will have had a shot at that, as well as the art side, which is the multimedia side. And so we currently have Our Cougar kids are working with Anthony Nelson, who is our student support specialist, on developing those Cougar weekly videos that she just talked about, that Ms. Ligorio just talked about. We also had last year some students working with Andy Arenquin, who was our STARS site lead. He's now a sixth grade teacher at McKinney, but we had plans to steal him back as a teacher when we expand to middle school. Making it public. At any rate, he worked with our kids on doing a monthly newsletter or newspaper. And so Anthony Nelson is going to take that on in the next month. Things are starting to finally settle down. So we're really happy about the idea of integrating and having a STEAM school. So that is kind of where we are headed. And if you have any questions, we'd love to answer them.
I got a couple things. First of all, how's the traffic out in front of the school now that you guys are...
You want to answer that or me?
It's awful.
Bad.
It's really bad.
Terrible.
The build, one of the things that I know, we knew to expect that it was going to be rough because there's anybody who's ever been out to Arboga, there's one way in and one way out. And so the build has caused an issue with that, the lack of busing, which is starting to get better. We do have a bus now that should be taking 84 kids, but for some reason parents are choosing to wait in that line instead of having their kids ride the bus. Greg Taylor has worked really hard with us to get that bus. It opened up to the, I always call the neighborhoods wrong. We call it the Links, but it's where all the roundabouts are off of Plumas Arboga Road. We opened up for there because I believe there are 100, it's either 117 students who live in there, but we were only getting about 15 kids. And so they opened it up to Dunwoody, which is the next neighborhood. And now we're getting somewhere between 35 and 40 from kinder, first through fifth, and then sixth grade. There are three different routes. But the bus, I don't think it's going to get better, to be really honest, until we get more buses. And then also when at the end of this month, we are supposed to gain back the full use of our parking lot. Currently, we're having all of the cars and the buses come through the same front part, which is the bus loop. At the end of October, beginning of November, we're supposed to get the parent pickup and drop-off area, which is to the right. So parents will go that way and buses will come this way. It probably honestly isn't going to do much to slow down or to diminish the backlog, but it will make the parents wait less a little bit because they won't have to wait for the bus, if that makes sense. So traffic is bad. We're having complaints. Sorry, I'm a long answer. We have a lot of complaints from parents, or community members who live out there. And so I just keep saying, please be patient, please be patient. They kind of know they have to work around certain times. The parents start lining up. Kindergarten pickup is at 1:10. We don't release until 2:20 for first through fifth, and parents are already in line at 1:30 for the two, you know what I mean? So they're backing up for days. It's long.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
I would say, yeah, traffic, terrible. It will help, I think, once the construction kind of releases back and we get the new loop. But moving forward, it probably goes beyond any of us in this room. But expanding the school, they're expanding all the neighborhoods out there, and having only one access point to our campus is going to be very, very, very tough.
Yeah, allegedly, the plans are for there to be 500 more homes built in that area. And so there probably needs to be some discussion with the county about opening up, buying some land, and having more access so that it's not just that one in, one out.
Yeah, and if there's developers, they should be mitigating some of that with the developers, so we need to make sure that gets done. Mm-hmm. And then the other question I was going to ask you, if you had two needs at your school, what would your two greatest needs be?
Staff.
Staffing, which would be mostly support staff in the way of... well, right now we're in a pinch because we've just posted for our secretary. Our secretary has went out on medical and then has resigned since, and so we don't have a secretary, so we're juggling a lot of that. That's happening, though. We have 16 applicants, and we're looking at doing interviews next week. But paras are golden. Our paras are amazing, and they're stepping up and doing more than we ever thought we could ask of them. And so... probably more of them, and then substitutes. If If we could do anything to get substitute teachers in this district, or at our school specifically, I mean, I know we need them everywhere, but that's the answer. Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. I see you finally got help with your yard duty situation. Can you guys get a yard duty person?
We haven't. We're still looking for one. So if anybody knows anybody, I'll throw this out there.
Yeah. I saw one on the agenda tonight.
Yeah, if anybody, that was our second hire.
Okay.
We still have one opening. So okay. Anybody who's watching out there or anybody who wants to do yard duty, I pitch every parent that comes into the school and talks to me. I hit them up. I hit them up about para jobs. If you have like a retired person who's interested or you know anybody, throw them our way. We'll take them.
Thank you, Eric. Kylie, thank you.
Yeah. Frank, yes. You're hired.
You're hired.
You know what? I would hire you, but I think that's a conflict. Yeah. Okay. If you have any other questions.
I have two questions. What is your plan for music within your expansion?
That's a great question. And one of the things that we definitely want to include music. We have to have talks this year about, as we get closer, to try to get a music teacher or program for that. I know that our current teacher loves being at our BOGA, but she really doesn't want middle school, and I can understand that. I also know that a part of us seeking the identity, you know, to have a school identity, Yuba Gardens, even though it isn't what they want to be known for right now, they are kind of the music school in our district. And so we didn't want to step on their toes. We want to offer it, but we don't want to take away from them, if that makes sense. So definitely, music is something I value. Deanna Wiseman will tell you I support the heck out of her in that program. Susan Farwell will tell you the same thing from Kynoch. Music is so important for kids. It keeps them focused. It gives them something to look forward to that's not academic. I know I'm preaching to the choir right here because you're a retired music teacher, but there will definitely be music at that school. It's just not going to be as big a program as perhaps Yuba Gardens. Yeah.
When you look at the projected build-out or the expected influx of more families, have we collectively at the district or you guys specifically at our BOGA, do we need a whole nother site for another middle school?
That's a great question that I can't answer. I do know that I sat in a meeting not too long ago with Dr. Asrani, with Jennifer and Rocco, or Dr. Greco, excuse me, and Ms. Pasalia. And we talked about some of that. And so I know that Jennifer Pasalia is going to work with one of the agencies that does our guesstimates for enrollments and whatnot. And then that's going to be looked at for sure. So I can't answer that, but I can tell you I know there are people working on it. I worked with Allison at Marysville High School, and little known fact, her sister was my first grade teacher, and I was in her wedding as a 6-year-old. The benefits of a small town, right?
Any other comments or questions? I just want to thank you and for all that you're doing and putting up with this year. It's even noisy at my house, so it's got to be awful noisy for y'all in the classroom. But I think it's going to be, you know, August of 2022 is going to be very nice for our community.
I think it's going to be amazing. And I have to, one last thing I have to say, whoever was involved in selecting Core Construction, they've been amazing to work with. I can tell you, John Grissel, the superintendent on our site, is incredibly responsive. And so it's nice. Like, there's not been headaches that he hasn't taken care of.
We would just like to know when the monster truck's coming out so we can.
Well.
No more room now. Building's there.
Yeah, the foundations are there. They're getting ready to pour cement the 19th. So that will be exciting. Yeah.
I want to say too, I hopefully you're saying in November we're going to have the other, it'd be the actually bus loop, I guess, or the parent drop-off loop open. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got to take another 15, 20 cars, I would think. It seems to me the pickup is always the hard part. You've all done a great job on the drop-off because I think you got drop-off starting early.
We did. Rocco helped us with the ELO funds to be able to offer something in the morning. So we were having students dropped off at 7 a.m. Now that we have a bus running, we went ahead and did it for a couple weeks and said, okay, now you have the ability to ride the bus. If you're not riding the bus, we're sorry. So we've stepped that up to 7:30 to try to get people to take the bus, take advantage of it. But yes, morning is not bad. It's the afternoon that's a nightmare.
Yeah. And so thank you for all your
minimum day Wednesdays when the entire school releases at 1:10 is. Yeah, it'll be around a soccer field, but yes, there's a track plan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have updates, business services.
Good evening. So as most of you probably have heard, we started our mandated staff COVID testing yesterday, and we've hit a few bumps in the road with staffing. The testing company is having a hard time finding staff, but we just want to thank everybody for their patience and understanding while we work through this. And I also want to thank our principals, health aides, and Jordan Wells for their flexibility and hard work while we're implementing this process. Also, I'd like to do a big shout out to our grounds and maintenance crews. We had some wind damage yesterday to our trees at Cedar Lane and Linda Elementary, and our grounds crews went out there quickly and responsibly and cleared up the debris for our students to have a safe place to play and learn. So that's my update for tonight.
Thank you, Jennifer. Next, we have educational services. Dr. Greco.
There we go. Thank you, board. So a couple quick updates. So giving you an enrollment report, we are still up. Right now we are sitting exactly at 10,000 students currently. I wanted to give a shout out to some of the teacher leaders who are going to be coming together to work. So Amy Stratton has put together a project. So over the last few years, our teachers have done a lot of work through PLCs, did a lot of work on identifying standards. So what we're going to be going back is working with Achieve the Core. And through this work, the goal is to be able to set up some common assessments and that go along with our curriculum. So that common assessment project is being led by Amy Stratton and with the union, Angela Stiegel as well. So they're working together to bring together something that our teachers believe will give us the data that we need to see how our students are progressing. That's more important than ever right now because there's always been educational gaps. The gaps in the learning right now are huge. Areas you would expect, but then other areas that you wouldn't have necessarily anticipated. One of the examples that comes out is second graders and handwriting. They are good at typing, but with 2 years at home, there wasn't a lot of handwriting given. So some of those adjustments and things that come out of it as we look at the data. So that project is getting underway right now. To one of the parent comments earlier, next week you're gonna be getting at the next board meeting, ESSER 3 plan update. So we're gonna be bringing you stuff. We've done surveys. In that, we'll go ahead and include an update for some of the other funds as well so that everyone can kind of see where those plans come together because at this point we're working on 5 different plans. So this will give you an opportunity to kind of see how they all fuse together to fund some of the things like Mr. Preston was talking about for his school and around the district as well. And then I think that's the final one for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Greco. Next we have personnel services, Mr. Carrion.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. In much the same vein as people giving shout outs, I'd like to just update where we are from a hiring standpoint, the personnel department. We're just over the 240 new employee mark. And as you can imagine, that's a lot of time. The intake, the onboarding, and ultimately the questions that need to be answered. So to that end, I would like to recognize Mary Hicks, Yvonne Sanchez, Bobby Vardell in the personnel department. They're doing amongst their just a boatload of other duties and responsibilities, carrying a big load to ensure that these employees are coming on board as quickly as possible in order to meet the service need that we have at the school sites. Also want to include in that collective group, Christina Berg, who spends a lot of time discussing the benefit components, whether they're full-time eligible or not. There are pieces that need to be explained thoroughly, and she does a wonderful job. So collectively, those four employees have done a superb job. To that end, we also want to cast a wider net. There are service levels that haven't been met. We are trying as best we can to advertise and, of course, attempt in every avenue that we can to hire more people. We also want to take this out to the community through a series of job fairs at school sites here at the district office. So that'll be coming to us here real soon. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity to meet and encourage our community members to try and fill some of those gaps and service levels that we need, albeit at the most basic level, but certainly at a very important level as well. And then lastly, again, one more time, I'd like to give a shout out to the leadership at MUTA. Many takeaways in our long marathon session, but one of the takeaways that I really enjoyed was the levity, the frivolity. Exhausted as we may have been, to sit and laugh at each other and maintain a decorum of cooperation through that process is one of my bigger takeaways, despite the progress we made, not despite, but thankfully for the progress we made, but also how fun it was throughout that evening. Tired, hungry, but certainly enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you to the MUTA leadership.
Thank you. Next, Dr. Azrani.
Thank you, Board President and members of the audience and members of Board present today. I first want to thank everyone for being here this evening and for the good work that we continue to do in this new normal. But I want to take a few minutes to share my thoughts about the stresses that we are all experiencing. We have all noticed that COVID-19 has not just impacted our lives, but in many cases, it has negatively affected the way we are reacting to the stress and treating each other. Across California, board meetings have turned excessively disrespectful, with attendees using profanity and threatening words towards board members, teachers, other staff, and at the end, the educational organization itself. School district leaders are being blamed for implementing state mandates that we are required to implement to make sure we keep our students and our staff safe. I want to acknowledge how hard it has been for our MJUSD teachers, staff, trustees, our director of transportation, as they have each experienced similar encounters. Going forward, I'd like to ask our community to treat each other with respect, with kindness and compassion, and know that we are all in this together. Now on the fun part of this presentation of mine that I have for you, let's celebrate teaching and learning that's occurring across the district. As I've shared before, I've visited almost every school once. I'm going back to the schools for the second time, but this past week, Friday, I was able to join Loma Rica students in grade 4 and 5 for the Yuba River Salmon Expedition. I think the toughest part was not the expedition, it was walking on the river rocks. I don't know if you've been there, but at my age, walking on those rocks was a challenge by itself. The Yuba Water Agency, who sponsors this program, was just recognized by the California Association of Science Educators for the Yuba Watershed Curriculum, which we got to experience. And we thank our partners, the Yuba Water Agency and Circle, which is South River Yuba Citizens League, for their generosity with sponsoring and supporting our students in this exciting learning experience. And it's happening in our own backyard. How blessed are we to have such wonderful community partners to support us. We had the first student forum last week, and this was an exciting meeting. We invited high school students from all the three high schools, and it was wonderful to see how articulate, how involved our students are. We asked them for input. As I've said before, we drive our instructional programs with what our students want. It's about meeting their needs. That's a priority. That's a star by which we guide ourselves. And so our students were able to make some wonderful suggestions about new courses, new programs, college and career readiness initiatives. And I just want to let our students know, if you're listening to me today, you will be hearing some updates very soon. And again, I want to thank my cabinet. You know, they've been wonderful to work with. They've made my transition so smooth, and of course they put up with my 500 questions, which I keep asking about why do we do this and why do you think it works. But one of my big goals is to create a culture of collaboration, camaraderie with our labor partners. And to that end, I've met with our teachers and our teacher leadership group. I do want to thank you. I know that that some of the conversation has been difficult, but I also picked up the positive tone in some of your comments, and I thank you for that. And I look forward to meeting the members of the other labor partners. This week on Friday, we'll have the Almost Maine, which is a play being put forward by MCAA. So I welcome you. I'll send you an invitation to that. I think he might have, Tim Malone. I'm excited to see that. The district music program is on Thursday at Yuba Gardens, and I'll be there as well. So if you're able to join us, please, let's go and celebrate that our students are able to publicly come out and celebrate the music programs. That's awesome. And for the busing brainstorm, I will be in touch with the parent, as I mentioned. We're really doing a lot of work. I'd like to really give a shout out to Greg Taylor. He's worked so hard, and it's very difficult when you're dealing with staffing issues. And before I end, I want to give a big thank you to our custodial staff. October 2nd was National Custodian Recognition Day. The group has worked tirelessly throughout the pandemic, keeping our schools and our students and families safe. I'd also like to give a shout out to Ms. Jolie, I believe she's outside. The work that she does with discipline, attendance, but most positively, keeping our schools safe, communicating about the protocols, and working to make it a better and a safe place for learning is to be acknowledged. And I'd like to acknowledge the young lady sitting at the back, Angie. Thank you, Angie, for being here today. I believe you go by Ange, you're Angela. You have stepped up today in last minute request. We thank you for being here and helping us to run the board today. Thank you so much. That's my report, thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 9/28/21. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? Not, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Next, we have the consent agenda. Are there any items on the consent agenda that a board member would like to have pulled? Not hearing any, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the consent agenda item as written.
Motion to approve by Trustee Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Hasty. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Moving on to new business. Approve cost and change order number 1 to the energy services agreement with SiteLogic. The purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve cost and change order number 1 to the energy service agreement with SiteLogic in the amount of $1,925,280. Is that Jennifer? Thank you.
Thank you, President Rasmussen, fellow trustees. This item before you is a two-part approval. One is for the change order of $508,000 for the escalation of our steel prices. And the second part are the fees and costs associated with the SiteLogic energy efficiency solar project. They include things such as DSA fees, soil inspection, lab of record, and those total $1.4 million approximately, and that is all included in the $36 million that have been approved and paid for with our certification of participation financing.
Thank you. Any questions from board members or comments?
So, yeah, Jennifer, I didn't understand the, we've got the change order, but it was, what'd you say, it was included with the COPS?
Yes, the whole project is included in the $36 million that was approved at the COPS. The two items that have been brought before you for the project amounted to about $34 million, and the remaining $2 million is for
these contingency pieces are the district's responsibilities of DSA fees, inspection
right,
fees.
Right, yeah, that was part of our contingency. Okay. So
yes.
Gotcha. Yeah, and steel prices are going through the roof. So, I mean, there's nothing they can do about right. that. It's that way every place.
I would just like to say,
yes. Thank you.
So with the COPS at the $36 million, it looks like we probably kind of used up any of our contingency for the rest of these projects. So I guess we're going to hope that that it's not going to continue to increase. Because again, this was supposed to be a cost neutral adventure for us when we took out those COPS, and I think we can just try to keep our fingers crossed that we're not going to have to come up with more money.
Absolutely, yes.
Any other comments or questions? We'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve
by Trustee Crawford. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. Next we have personnel services, tabled at the 9/14/21 board meeting. The new position, instructional data coordinator. Purpose of the agenda item is to request the board approve the new job description and position entitled instructional data coordinator, which is already approved as part of the 2020-21 LCAP. Do we have someone to speak to that? Mr. Carrion?
Well, ultimately, I think we could, if necessary, tag team it, if you will. But ultimately, wanted to remind the board, as what was just stated, is that with the position or the allocation was previously approved. Bringing it forward, of course, just adds a greater emphasis in the urgency of wanting and needing this position in order to enhance our program levels, in order to ensure that we bring the support levels to our principals, our school sites, and ultimately improve the delivery of instruction and enhance our programs. So to that end, we recommend that the board approve it as we presented it, and also would ask Dr. Greco to enhance this explanation.
Yeah, and so looking at this, I mean, it's you've heard our teachers say, we know how to use data, and yes, they do know how to use data. You also hear everyone saying about how tired they are and how everything is there. We have huge educational gaps that we're looking to fill, and we're using that not just through teaching and learning through the classroom, but through technology tools, through all different types of measures. And there's data coming in from all different sources. So being able to take that data, correlate it, feed it out to the sites so that it's there and ready to use, so that when they go to meet in PLCs, so that when they want to drive instruction, they're able to do that so that we can close these gaps and get back to normal as soon as possible, and be able to accelerate with systematic growth across the district. This is something that in the short term, I believe, is very necessary.
Thank you. Comments or questions from board members?
Yes, I have to concur with Dr. Greco. After doing a little bit of research, I initially tabled that. I wanted to know the fiscal impact, and I got the answers that I was looking for. And then I also got the input from a meeting that we had that in regards to the ESSER funds reporting data, which is an absolute time-framed reporting scenario, and if we miss that, correct if I'm wrong, Dr. Greco, we run the risk of returning those funds. Am I correct?
Hello, there we go. Yes, and not just on the ESSER 3 plan. And so part of this right now in the reporting on LCAP and the amount of metrics that they're now placing upon the LCAP in the new template, the ESSER 3 plan, what we've done with ESSER 2, you have IPI, which is the in-person instruction grant that we'll be reporting on, and A through G grant as well, and then ESSER 1. So there's, and then you have the LCP, the finalization that you'll see kind of tied in, all of those grants that have reporting requirements and data requirements to what we spent the funds on.
The other issue that we were looking at is we were concerned about what impact that position would take upon on the schools themselves, the individual schools,
and the teachers. We didn't want to impact any teachers with any additional work, any site principals with any additional work, et cetera, and have an expert in that field that can aggregate that data for us. Is that correct?
Yeah, and on top of that, it's not just aggregating the data, but leaving behind a shell or a matrix that allows that to continue. So this is going to build out a process so that you have, like now you have ARIES, our data sys, we have CalPATS, we have all these areas where data is coming or flowing from. This person is going to take the data and say, what are we looking at what works? So right now we have things we fund in the LCAP, and we have all these additional things like Eric talked about through ELO and all these other programs. So we have this unique opportunity to look at things and say, what actually works for kids with all of these things that are going on, so that we strip away the things that aren't getting us results, but being able to look at each of those things with data to be able to say, these are the most effective things to leave behind to support our teachers and to support our kids in learning.
Thank you.
And so this data is collected solely by this person sitting in an office off their computer. How is it collected? What are the impacts on the site? Are the sites helping collect some of that information? Is there, how does the whole process work?
Yeah, so what you'd be looking at right now is there's gonna be a series of things coming in. So you have test data in Illuminate. You've got Google Classrooms that are feeding in grades and standards. You've got the report cards. We have our state testing data that comes in, as well as the social emotional data from any of the programs that they're working with there. Let's say you're at one of the sites that's doing DIBELS assessments for early phonemic awareness. And so they're taking these measures rapidly along to see are students progressing. So all of that data is coming in. So it'll be being generated in the classrooms by the students. But then as that's coming out, then it's going into our systems. So then taking like Illuminate and ARIES, there's something called an API, so it pipes data between them. Being able to take those multiple different data sources and put together data that's usable. So for example, if you look at like our PBIS systems, as those begin to evolve, the purpose of like PBIS is to create an ability to identify problems not based on assumptions to be able to fix them. So what they would refer to that in their Swiss system, which is where their data goes, is the who, what, when, where, and why. And so what that is let's say these guys have been doing a lot of duty, so they're out on the fields a lot, they see what's going on, and they think, oh, you know, we're having this problem with pushing in the back, and people are always bullying and pushing, and it's really chaotic. And you start to go in and then you pull the data. So we go into what's being entered in interventions and then in the discipline modules and ARIES, and the times are entered, all this data is going in. You look at that and what you actually find is really you're only having a problem behind this one classroom between 1 and 2 p.m. So instead of then trying to cover the whole classroom or going whole school wide with we've got bullying issues everywhere, you allocate a staff member or someone to look at that one area specifically. And it's the same thing with academic data or the rest of the data. What we're trying to do is instead of like a shotgun blast, you're trying to target what are we trying to hit here. And so finding the problems. So I've seen it where like one of the data solutions might have been you saw kids were always being tardy to school, and jokingly, traffic at Eric's school, that's probably why they're late there. But at the high school, they thought, okay, there's a lot of issues with kids being tardy. What it ended up being was juniors and seniors when you looked at the data, and then with juniors and seniors, what they found out is there wasn't enough of a penalty for being late, and there was traffic in the morning, so they were just waiting 10 minutes to come until the traffic was gone. So going into that with phonemic awareness or any of the other measures, when you look at like mathematic reasoning, the rest of it, to be able to take that data where it's coming in from multiple sources, aggregate it, and then being able to give it to site administration, being able to give it to teachers to say, this is exactly what we're seeing. Okay, what we're seeing here, that's something that could be addressed through Sensory and Orton-Gillingham and the way we're going to work with this. Or that's something that could be addressed if we pull these kids into an ELO group after school, while we have funding to do that. We're seeing that these 70 kids or so are having an issue with when we test them on nonsense words, their phonemic awareness for these things are not working. And then we can target just teaching that piece so that we're filling in these gaps to create a system that then allows teachers to not have to completely differentiate instruction across the system as they're going.
And this is a three-year position, correct?
Correct.
And then we're going to look at it at that point again. Because, I mean, if it's going to help teachers and it's going to help alleviate work for teachers and principals, site administrators, I mean, they're overwhelmed as it is. Teachers are overwhelmed, site administrators are overwhelmed. And so that would be a great thing, but man, for 180 grand, that's a lot of money. But anyways, if it helps students achieve and it helps our administrators and it helps our students and it helps our teachers, I would go for it.
Any other comments or questions? I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Trustee Doug Criddle. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Davis. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, 7 yes. That is our last agenda item. The board, let's take maybe a 4 or 5 minute break. We are going to go back into closed session for a couple items. So maybe at 7 o'clock, we can go back to the conference room. Meeting adjourned.